B61. Number 6A.
So let's see how consciousness that has reached a certain stage in science, how that consciousness looks at the world, looks down to the lower levels of existence. And there we can see in a short abbreviated way that if we have a consciousness at point 8, that the I am is that I am, or we could say where we can see that being, capital B, being, capital B again, being just knowing itself as being what it is, in its infinitude, it's as the infinite one and as the infinite, that then from that point on we can look further down and see, well, within that one being, point 7, within this I am, is the I am of all. Can you see? The I am of all small a. It's therefore showing that that one being of the I am that I am at point 8 translates itself to everything within the infinitude of being as also being the I am, the I am of all, so that there is no separation between principle and idea, or between God and creation, that everything within the infinite one being, capital B, has the nature of beingness. It's all of the same nature, so that every part of the infinite has the same nature that it also is, the I am-ness or the beingness of all. That's what we would usually call the level of divine science, where we see the oneness of principle and idea. So we never, can you see, we never drop really the I am standpoint. You can see that on the left-hand side, all down from 8 to the point 1, it's still the I am. So we never drop that, we never leave, so to say, the housetop, as Jesus would say. But we look down and see that everything within being is also of the nature of being, small b, of I am. If I look further down to more details, to a more individualized sense, to every little part within the infinite one, then I come to point 6, where I see that this I am is infinitely individualized as individual I am. For instance, like man, like individual man. That individual man, just as all other individualities, are actually still the I am, but infinitely individualized. So can you see, if we would put instead of just the I am, if we would put there the capitalized term, the seven synonymous terms, at that point I could see, at point 6, that mind, as the I am, is infinitely individualized as mind, infinitely individualized as mind, capital M, but still remaining mind. You can, it's a terrific sense if you exercise that in your consciousness, that we go out from God and say, well, at this point of 6, God, say, is mind, and therefore if God is all, therefore this is the all mind, then that all mind is infinitely individualized, but still remaining mind. It never, through individualization, it never loses the wholeness of God. We just keep always the tonality of the wholeness of God, the I am that I am, we keep that. Even if you look down to an individual case, to an individual situation, to individual man, and we still can see that that is mind, capital M, individualized, but still remaining the whole of mind. It never look, mind being individualized does not is not just a part of mind then. See, in the materialistic thinking, we always divide up so that parts are no more the whole. If we split up a stone into its atoms, then the atoms, each atom is an individual atom, but it's no more a stone. Whereas in spiritual things, we cannot do that. In spiritual things, we never can split up the infinite one into parts. So that's, can you see that point? That's where we go so wrong in our reasoning. That the moment we think about God, yes, God is all in all, but then the individual expression we consider as a little part of the whole, as God's little ones. Now, there are no God's little ones. It doesn't exist. See? It only is that God is God, and you cannot split up, but you can see that God can be infinitely individualized, but the individualized expression is still the individualized expression of the whole mind, and not of a tiny little part of mind. It's not just mindish, it's mind. And this is a big point when you give, I mean, this descending way is a way of treatment, of demonstration, that it is good, really, to see that mind or spirit or soul never loses anything on the descending way, on the way of demonstration. It remains what it is. It's still always the capitalized term as a whole, but at the point six, it's infinitely individualized. If we see that, then we come to point five, to the level of Christian Science, where we have to see that this I am has no other I am, no personal I. We know that the level of Christian Science is always that which shows the relationship of truth to error. Therefore, here it must show the relationship of the I am to the belief that every person has an I am, is a beingness, that we have a personal beings, 4 billion beings running around on the earth today, and every animal and every plant having a soul of its own. That is the materialistic point of view. Here we see that the I am has no other personal I am, can never be translated into a personal I am. That would be absorption and not reflection. That everyone says, I have an I am of my own. I have a part of God for my own. Then we would absorb God within us. Whereas if we reflect it, then we see that we reflect always the whole. Just as every dewdrop reflects always the whole sun and not just an infinitesimal part of the sun. So the dewdrop does not absorb the sun, but reflects it. And so we too must see that everything that happens, every individual situation, every individual man, every individual occasion, everything that happens, every detail that happens, is only an individualized sense of the big I am, and that, at the point of five, has no personal I am-ness, has no personal ego, has no personal sense. And only in this way we really translate the high vision right down to every individual situation. At that point, we cross the border from science to metaphysics, but still now including metaphysics, because we never leave the I am, we never leave science, but we now include metaphysics, that is, now we include, so to say, the thinking process in the human, namely by seeing first that this I am becomes now the thinker of us. Can you see, instead of having seen that we think God, or that we think about God, that we think the synonymous term, we are the thinker, this is now corrected, and see, no, even if we think and are thinkingly conscious, that thinking and that place is no more our thinking. It's God thinking us, which is a very great difference. It's a very great difference if I think about God or if God thinks me. This always opens a big question about the nature of thought and of thinking, which actually in the Christian Science textbook doesn't take really a big place, because science has not in the first place to do with thinking, it has to do with ideas, with God himself and its ideas. But in its translated form, it actually must also show the nature of true thought. Now, for instance, angels in the textbook are always called thoughts, never ideas. Angels are thoughts, exalted thoughts. They are never defined as ideas. And we say usually, well, man thinks, the brain thinks. Well, that's usually the case. But then suddenly we find in the textbook rare occasions, where she speaks about God thoughts. God thoughts. Which would mean that God thinks. If we take it as in a superficial way, we say, well, if Mrs. Eddy writes that God thoughts pass from God to man, we say, all right, God thinks. Now, God cannot think. This is impossible, because God has no brain with which to think. And yet, we have that rendering, God's thoughts. Now, can you see what is implied with it? That God's thoughts are God at the point of point four, that translates the divine I am consciousness, that translates ideas to man. The moment ideas must be shown as being translated to man, they appear as thoughts. But they are not thoughts that the human mind has conceived. They are thoughts that are translated forms of God's ideas as they come to us. I wonder if that was clear. Ah, yes. All right. I start all over again in a different way. In metaphysics, one talks a lot about thinking and about thoughts. And most metaphysical systems and methods and practices rely on thinking, positive thinking. Positive thinking is what? When we, with our brain, begin to think in positive values. When we begin to think in terms of ideas. See, that's what we had in the ascending way at the point of 1, 2, 3, and 4. We think about God. We think about ideas. We think about our thoughts. Now, therefore we say we are the producer of these thoughts. We are the thinker of these thoughts. Is that okay up to this point? Okay. So, we can ask ourselves, does that not stand in contradiction to what Mrs. Eddy says very rarely, about God's thoughts? Does then God think? Is God a thinker? And we say, no, God is never a thinker. God has no brain to think. God does not need to think. God is just being. And God only knows himself or is conscious of himself through ideas, as ideas, and not as thoughts. God does not produce thoughts, nor is he a thinker. Now, why then this rendering of God's thoughts or of angels as exalted thoughts? What does that mean? That means that when God's consciousness, when God's consciousness of himself, God's consciousness of ideas, when these ideas are translated way down to the level of human thinking, or of the human consciousness, that these ideas appear in the translated form as thoughts. So, these thoughts are not produced by men, they are produced by God, but only in the translated form. So, at the moment when we come to metaphysics, at the point 4, we can see that here God is the cause of our thinking. We could put it that way. We could say that God is the cause of our thinking. Therefore, I have put the thinker in quotation marks, because he is not the thinker, but at the point it appears as if he is the cause of our thoughts. He comes to us suddenly as inspiration. He comes to us as enlightenment. We haven't been thinking out enlightenment. We haven't been thinking out the revelation. It came to us through a translation way. At that moment we begin to see that God is the cause of our thoughts. God is the cause of revelation. God is the cause of inspiration. God is the cause of the breaking in of a new idea. It's that sudden appearing of an idea which we have not been thinking out, but which we have let in, and therefore those thoughts that come to us are actually from above, so to say. Their cause is in God, in the I Am. So the I Am at that point becomes the thinker of man, or becomes the cause of our thinking. And these naturally are then called God's thoughts. You see, though God doesn't think, we have God's thoughts at the point when the ideas of God come to us to that level. You see, that's why we need levels. That's why we need absolutely levels. Without levels, metaphysics and science cannot be understood. Therefore, cutting out the levels is just cutting out the whole system. John Dolio had those three great categories, the 7 and the 4 and the 4, and that constitutes the system, and if we cut out one part of it, we break down the whole system. And here you see it very nicely, that this can only be understood if we see that, in the dimensional sense, a phenomena, when translated to another level, becomes a different phenomena. You know that I have now put that diagram into my books, into the book of the Oneness book and in the Synonym book, just to impress that really an identity remains always the same identity of being. But if we translate it to different levels of understanding and consciousness, that identity appears as a different phenomena. It's no more the same phenomena. It changes its outward appearance. And only in this way we can have translation. Without the levels, we cannot have translation. It's impossible. But the levels are actually showing us how God translates himself to every level of understanding. So we come to point three, when we see that God really gives us our thoughts, our true thoughts, our inspiring thoughts. Then we see that this I am makes God's thoughts and my thoughts identical. I think the same thing as what God has given me. So that God's thoughts and my thoughts become identical. I say, oh, suddenly begin to think the way God was thinking. Always with quotation marks. So they come to us, they become our thoughts. We adopt them, we welcome them, we let them in, we conceive them, and they become our thoughts, so they become identical. And as we have seen, that what comes from God is always only good, we are quite aware that what comes from God, through the point 4 and 3, are now good thoughts. An idea and an inspiration that comes from God is always good. We don't have to first to weigh it and say, are these thoughts good or bad? When the thoughts are from God, translated to us, we know at once they are good, they are true, they are real. We can rely on them. We can work with them. We don't have to question them. Are they good? Are they evil? Are they illusions? Are they ideas? We don't have to do that anymore. We know that they are saving and helping and guiding. So this is point two. And we begin to see that they will always guide rightly and inspire rightly, inspire for the best and bless us. So that finally, at the point one, we can see that this I am makes us the thought of God. Is that clear? The thought of God. That which God has been thinking of us. Huh? Is that rendering clear in English? That man is the thought of God? Huh? Whereas in the ascending way, or in the general way of thinking, we think that man is that what we think. We had that right at the beginning, the Cartesian doctrine, cognito ergo sum, I think, therefore I am. And now this is completely different. This is now cogitor, namely I am being thought of, huh? I'm being recognized, I'm being known by God, huh? Ergo sum, therefore I am. Can you see it's a completely different attitude if you have the point one in the ascending way and the point one in the descending way? In the ascending way you begin to see, yes, I'm only that what I think. what I think, what man thinks in his heart, that he is. That's a rendering from the Bible, which Mrs. Eddy also uses various times in the textbook. Now, this is not true. See, as a man thinketh, so is he. This is not true. It's only true in the ascending way. In the ascending way, we can say, yes, if a man thinketh something very evil, that's how he is. That's what he is. Huh? He's a very bad man. But that's not factual. That's not divinely factual. Divinely factual man is always the blessed of God, is always good. Huh? So Mrs. Eddy is aware of that. So when Mrs. Eddy quotes that, I think she quotes it about three times, but in one time where she quotes it, where she wants to bring out that man, that as a man thinketh, so he is, and wants to bring out the true man and not the mortal man, then she corrects that biblical term and says, as a man thinketh, and in bracket, understandeth, so he is. Huh? You see, that's now that point one in the descending way. When he is understood, when he has understood God, then he is man. Huh? So as a man understandeth, that's man. Because if he understand God, that's man. Huh? So we have to be clear here, also at that point one, that only then when we see man as that which God knows, huh, which God recognizes, and therefore is the recognized of God, the cogitor, that's the passive sense, ergo, therefore he is. He is that what God recognizes. He is that what God knows. And we would say in our language, man is that what mind knows about him. It's the idea of mind. Yes. So in this way, we have considered how science includes metaphysics. That science goes out from the descending way, from 8, 7, 6, 5, and says, but that happens within the consciousness of God. Now, that includes also the consciousness of man, the true consciousness of man. Therefore, it includes also divine metaphysics. It includes physics, the contemplation also of ideas, but from the point of view of the Infinite One. And therefore, there, man is what God knows about him. In the ascending way, we had man, what we know about man. And now it is man, how God knows man. That's the descending way. And that's naturally the way of demonstration, where in the treatment we always only know man as God knows him.